Okay, here in the beginning of Genesis, and I want you to note something. We're not necessarily going to cover every verse. We're going to cover quite a few of them. But I want you to notice something here. It doesn't say anything about God other than Elohim, God. Okay? Doesn't say the Almighty, El Shaddai. It doesn't say the Lord of hosts, which would be Yahweh Sabaoth. Okay? It is not the Most High. It is Elohim. Because this is the covenant with everything he has made. God is establishing with every one of these things that he is making a covenant relationship. Now, he has a covenant relationship with human beings. But our relationship is also different than anything else, because there can be more than one covenant. There can be more than one kind of covenant. Here, just hold your place right here, and let's go to Genesis, the ninth. Okay, Genesis, the ninth chapter. And verse 8. After blessing Noah and his sons, telling them, be fruitful and multiply. Verse 8, God said to Noah and his sons with him, saying, and I, now this is Elohim, it's not Yahweh, it is not El Shaddai, it is Elohim, spoke unto Noah and to his sons, saying, and I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, of every beast of the earth with you, from all that goes out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God says, this is the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. See, so God has a covenant relationship with everything. That's why it's good that people are out there trying to save whales and trying to save certain parts of the environment. The only problem is a lot of them get all wrapped up in New Ageism and Hinduism and all the stupid political and spiritual hoopla that goes with it, unfortunately. Verse 13, and I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow which shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, and I will remember the everlasting covenant between Elohim and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. Now, you can't get any more all-encompassing than that, can you? No, you cannot. Okay? Why? Because God made it. God made it. Elohim. God's covenant remains in spite of everything, doesn't it? There are other covenants that have conditions. There are other covenants that are unconditional. All of those are part of God's way in dealing with people. Okay, back here to Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, Elohim created the heaven and the earth. And of course, you know that. Then it says the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Tie that in with Proverbs, the 8th chapter. And Elohim said, let there be light. There was light. And God saw that the light was good. God divided the light from darkness, called the light day, the darkness night. Evening, morning were the first day. Now you go through each verse, and each one says, and Elohim said. So he made the firmament, divided the firmament above and below. we come down to verse 9. And God said, or Elohim said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Then there's a covenant that God has. He made the law. He told the sea, this far and no further. So then we have the earth. Then God said, verse 11, Elohim said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding fruit, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, and whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And so it happened. God brought it forth, and God, verse 12, the last part, saw that it was good. Elohim. And verse 14, Elohim said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs, for seasons, for days, and for years. We still have it today, don't we? How do we calculate time today? By the covenant that God has made in his creation. That talks about the two lights. God said, almost every verse here it is, Elohim said, Elohim saw. Okay? So then God said to the waters, bring forth abundantly the moving creature that has life, the fowl that may fly over the earth in the open firmament of heaven, and the great whales, and the living creature that moves, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them. So here's a covenant with them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters of the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. And boy, that is true. Every time you see one of these specials about different birds, it's amazing. It is absolutely amazing. Now, just take the penguin. You have many different kinds of penguins. You have the emperor penguin that stands this high and stays through the Arctic winter down at the Antarctic winter, rather, down at Antarctica all winter. And they lay their eggs upon the ice, held up by the tops of their feet, and they have a big fat flap that comes down over it and underneath, and they hold the egg in there, and in spring the chick is hatched. You have other penguins that go to Patagonia, which is the southern peninsula of South America. They dig burrows and go and lay their egg in a burrow. And they come 3 million at a time to this one island. And it's a clanking, clattering, splashing, you know, just, it's incredible. See? And then you just think about all of the other animals that there are that God has created. It's a fantastic and marvelous thing. And it showed how these penguins are just awfully awkward on land. Once they get in water, man, they'll outdo any submarine or torpedo. They just sail through and they can... They can catch fish like there's no tomorrow, okay? Now, the penguins can't fly, but others can. And then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, verse 24, cattle and creeping things and the beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, the cattle after their kind, everything that creeps upon the earth after his kind. And God saw it was good. Everything all the way through here, God has made it good. And to this day, people marvel at the goodness of the creation of God, though they may attribute some of it to evolution. It's not evolution, because nothing comes into existence that God has not made. I mean, you can even special breed it, but God has still put the laws there that make it. Now, I fear, greatly fear, that somebody's going to do some genetic engineering and going to try and splice in animal genes into humans to make super athletes. Now, don't laugh. If they do that, I think we're close to the end. You know. But remember, it says that anything man imagines to do, he can do. And what is one of the advertisements there they have on television? What is it? Yes, the greatest thing you possess is your imagination. The imagination of man is continually evil, always. Okay, then God created man, We'll get into that a little bit more. But he said, let us make man in our image. We know this. We've gone over it many times. Let them have dominion. God blessed them. He made them male and female. So here we have the same thing. Humanity is found in two, male and female. All right. God saw that everything he had done was good. Behold, it was very good. Now, let me read just a couple of things here out of the book, The Names of God by Jukes. For this covenant relationship, which the name Elohim expresses, is first a relationship in God. He is one, but in him also, as his name declares, there is plurality. And in this plurality, which has certain relationships, both in and with himself, which, because he is God, can never be dissolved or broken. Now, don't we have the scripture which says, I think it's 2 Timothy, the second chapter. Let me turn there just a minute. 2 Timothy, the second chapter, concerning God, that he himself cannot break, that he himself cannot deny. Second Timothy 2 and verse 12, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abides faithful, he cannot deny himself. There are certain things that God has said and certain things that God has done that he alone can do. Elohim alone can be done, that can never be dissolved or broken. Part of that is, regardless of how wicked human beings are, what was God's covenant by himself that he made with all the earth and every living creature, that he won't destroy it ever again with the flood? Okay? Here on page 20 it says, but the truth here is that the covenant relationship involved in the name Elohim goes further. For the Beloved is the Son, the Word, by whom all things were made, in whom all things consist. All things were created by and for him. God, therefore, or Elohim, in covenant with the Beloved Son, must be in covenant with all that is created by him, and which all consist or held together in him. For, as Paul has said, he is God that cannot lie, who promised eternal life before the world began. And in virtue of this covenant relationship, because he is Elohim, though his creatures fail and fall, he will never leave us or forsake us. This will help us to understand then why God lets things go the way they have gone. Why God then is glorified in our weakness. Have you ever wondered how God is glorified in our weakness? That's a very interesting statement, isn't it? Okay, we'll get into some of those other things. That's as far as we can go today. So we'll continue this next time.
For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.